WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The U.S. Supreme Court ends Virginia's mid-decade redistricting effort. Gun rights groups file legal challenges to the state's new ban on assault-style weapons. And at UVA's commencement, former President Jim Ryan is the keynote speaker. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, May 18. The effort to redistrict Virginia ahead of the 2026 midterms appears to be over. On Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court denied a request from Virginia Democrats to intervene in a court battle. Chief Justice John Roberts denied the request to pause a state Supreme Court ruling. That May 8th decision said that the Democratic-controlled legislature improperly began the process of placing the amendment on the ballot after early voting had begun in Virginia's general election last fall. Virginia's redistricting, approved by voters in a referendum in April, would have given Democrats a chance to pick up four seats in the closely divided House of Representatives. Virginia will hold elections for Congress under the current maps, and primaries are on August 4th. The ink was barely dry on Virginia's new assault weapons ban before gun rights groups brought legal challenges. Radio IQ's Michael Pope has the details.
Advocates for gun rights say assault-style weapons are protected by the Second Amendment because they're in common use by law-abiding citizens for lawful purposes. That's the argument at the heart of state and federal lawsuits challenging Virginia's new assault weapons ban. Justin Davis is director of public affairs at the National Rifle Association, one of the groups filing the lawsuits.
They say that's based on AR-15s and quote-unquote assault rifles, but even those are as common as Ford F-150s in this country. There's tens of millions across the country. They're incredibly owned. They're actually the most popular sporting rifle in the country.
Bill Taylor is deputy director of Second Amendment litigation at Everytown Law, and he says the test is not about how many guns are out there. He says the plaintiffs need to show that assault-style weapons are in common use for self-defense.
These weapons are neither commonly used for self-defense purposes, nor are they suitable for self-defense purposes. They're designed for maximal lethality, not civilian self-defense. They're designed for the battlefield, not for Virginia's streets and neighborhoods.
Depending on what happens with the legal challenges, the ban will go into effect on July 1st. The new law makes it a Class 1 misdemeanor to import, sell, manufacture, purchase, or transfer an assault-style weapon or large-capacity magazine. I'm Michael Pope.
As we reported last week, Governor Abigail Spanberger vetoed a bill that would have expanded collective bargaining rights for state and local employees in Virginia. VPM News' Jad Khalil reports the veto is straining organized labor's relationship with the governor they helped elect.
Collective bargaining was organized labor's top priority this legislative session. After Spanberger's veto, a group of union members spoke to the press and they were mad.
You said you would sign the collective bargaining bill once across your desk. This was a betrayal.
Patrice Summers is a member of the Service Employees International Union, which lent its support and its members to Spanberger's campaign.
You walked alongside us as we put boots on the ground for you.
It raises a question on whether labor will support Spanberger again if she wants to compete in another Democratic primary. Unions are a pillar of the Democratic Party's base, but it's not unusual for Democratic executives to not follow up on campaign promises, says Nelson Lichtenstein.
Yes, it's extremely common.
He's a labor historian at the University of California, Santa Barbara, but taught at the University of Virginia for a decade.
It's practically par for the course because labor is one of the few institutions that can mobilize members, actual people out there in the street.
Spanberger's communications director, Libby Wyatt, said the governor would have signed the bill if the General Assembly accepted her recommendations. Those included a delayed timeline for some employees, which lawmakers said was too late.
Jad Khalil reporting. Virginia's proposed $212 billion budget for the next fiscal year is still in limbo, and lawmakers plan to return to the Capitol in June to work out a compromise. The Democratic majority in the General Assembly was not able to bridge their differences during last month's veto session. The party is divided over tax exemptions for data centers. The Senate's proposal would phase out the retail sales and use tax exemption on data center equipment beginning January 1st. That's a move supporters say could reclaim billions in revenue and redirect it towards schools, transportation, and infrastructure. But the House budget omits the change. The deadline for the budget to go into effect is July 1st. The University of Virginia held its graduation events over the weekend. The keynote speaker was former President Jim Ryan, who was forced to resign under pressure by the Trump administration and its allies on the Board of Visitors. Ryan told students at the valedictory ceremony,
"I was hoping to graduate with all of you this year, albeit from the presidency. But as you may have heard, I was allowed, you might even say encouraged, to graduate a year early. Nonetheless, given everything that we went through together, I'd like to consider myself at least an honorary member of the class of 2026, if that's okay with all of you."
His advice to them? Do the right thing, always. His successor, Scott Beardsley, was on hand, but did not sit with Ryan and gave him a low-key introduction. Also on Friday, Governor Spanberger spoke at Virginia Tech's graduation ceremonies. Radio IQ's Roxy Todd reports.
Since 1990, it's been a Virginia Tech tradition that the new incoming governor is invited to speak at commencement. In her speech, Spanberger shared stories of her career, including training as a CIA officer, where she was told to find her way by night through a swamp. Spanberger urged graduates to consider going into public service as teachers, in the military, or working for the government.
Every one of you has something to contribute, a talent, a skill, a perspective that the world needs. And the question isn't whether you have something to offer, it's whether you will be willing to offer it.
Governor Spanberger also highlighted Virginia Tech's president, Timothy Sands, pointing to his 12 years at the university as an example of public service. Sands announced earlier this year that he will step down as president as soon as a replacement is selected.
President Sands has led Virginia Tech for over a decade with a vision and an unwavering commitment to the students at this university. Under his leadership, Virginia Tech has enhanced research innovation, has grown enrollment, and expanded the university's footprint throughout the Commonwealth.
Spanberger recently appointed four new members to the Virginia Tech Board of Visitors, who will serve on the search committee for the university's next president. I'm Roxy Todd.
Finally today, scientists at Jefferson Lab in Newport News are researching a way to boost the potential of fusion energy. WHRO's Catherine Hafner has the details.
Fusion is a nuclear reaction that powers the sun. It could be an unlimited source of clean energy, but it's extremely hard to do here on Earth. Jefferson Lab hopes to improve the material that powers a fusion reactor. The team is using a technique called spin polarization to align tiny particles in that material, which they call fuel. Physicist Xiangdong Wei says this could make fusion almost twice as efficient.
If this one works, you can get the 80% extra energy without changing your regular design. It just putting in different fuels.
Mechanical engineer Philip Dobren says that's like suddenly doubling a car's miles per gallon. It could finally make fusion commercially viable.
I think it's going to really push the needle forward and really get a lot of companies over the line.
But the final product is still years away.
Catherine Hafner reporting for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.